Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. Exodus chapter 20, page 95 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading four verses, but they're not together, so I'll be directing you. We will read the first two verses in unison, and then I'll direct us to the other verses. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Together now in verse 1 and 2. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 10. Together, please. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. And let's read verse 12 together also. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for our church, for this place. There's something very wonderful about the privilege that we have of getting together. And there's just no place like this in all the world. We thank you for our privilege. We pray that you'd bless now and help us in this meeting.
Open your Bibles again, please, to Exodus chapter 20. I'd like to read it right, Brother Colston goofed it up a while ago. Oh, we're creatures of habit, aren't we? Every once in a while we'll be reading responsively, and it'll be the time for the congregation to read a stanza, but the sentence doesn't end at the end of the verse, and the choir, some of the ladies behind me, want to keep on reading there. I want to take over Brother Colston's job and so forth. And after this morning, I think I may have an opening. I heard a sermon recently on the subject, or using as a text, I am the Lord thy God. And it made me curious. So I took the Bible, I looked up every verse in the Bible where it says, I am the Lord thy God, or I am the Lord your God, or the Lord thy God, and or the Lord your God, and read every verse in the Bible that pertained to that. And I found something very interesting, and I want to share it with you this morning. It says in verse number 2, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. It's very interesting. 50 times in the Bible you have the term, I am the Lord thy God, or I am the Lord your God. 27 of those times, it deals with God talking to Israel during their wanderings from the land of Canaan to the land of, from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan. 27 of those 50 times, it deals with that period. Practically, if not every other time, the term the Lord thy God is mentioned. It is mentioned to somebody, reminding a succeeding generation, I am the Lord thy God. And then he goes back and says, which delivered your fathers out of Egypt. Almost always, when the term the Lord thy God is mentioned, it has to do with God delivering his people from Egypt and preserving them as they went to the promised land, or reminding future generations that he is the Lord our God, and he's the Lord their God, and he's the one who did what he did in leading them out of Egypt. So this term, I am the Lord thy God, is almost exclusively a term that is associated with God's people being led from Egypt in bondage to the land of Canaan and their wanderings in the wilderness. So it said in verse number 2, I am the Lord thy God. Look at verse number 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And then in verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I want to call your attention this morning Wonderful, wonderful little truth nothing, gigantic truth in the Bible, but simple as far as it looks. I am the Lord thy God. Father, bless this morning as we take this little statement and explain it and use it and encourage by it, with it, and through it. In Jesus' name, amen. It said, I am the Lord thy God. Let me give you, just break that down a bit. First it says, I am the Lord. It's only one, not another. I am the Lord. If Jehovah is God, then Muhammad is not. If Jehovah is God, then Buddha is not. I am the Lord. Then he said, thy God. I like that. Notice the he says, I belong to you. I am the Lord, but I am thy God. Notice the possession of him that we have. The interesting thing in the Bible, how it talks about us belonging to him, and he belongs to us. That's why I like the little chorus. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, the Bible over and over again says, I'm yours, and you are mine. You belong to me, and I belong to you. So he said, I am the Lord. Then he said, thy God. And then going back to last Sunday's sermon, he said, I am the Lord thy God. Didn't say I was the Lord thy God when I delivered the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. Didn't say I was the Lord thy God when they crossed the Red Sea. No, he said, I am the Lord thy God. I was the Lord thy God, I am then, I am now, and I am always the Lord thy God, always in the present tense. Now, follow me carefully. It will be a long journey. Through his foreknowledge, God sees 40 years of wandering and traveling to the land of Canaan on the part of his people. God did not want his people to refuse to go in on that first time at Kadesh Barnea, but God, by his foreknowledge, saw that they would not go in. And so God said, realizing that they had 40 years ahead of them, 27 times in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, God reminds his people, I am the Lord thy God. And what he does, he reminds them at strategic places and times in their lives. When you come to the Red Sea, God says, and you can't go over, and the Egyptian armies are pursuing, and you don't know how in the world you're going to be able to live on one side of the Red Sea, on the other side the Egyptian armies. God says, I am the Lord thy God. And so what happened? God told Moses, take that little rod you got, smite the waters, go over on dry ground, and I'll baptize the Egyptians permanently as they come through. And I'll bury them in the likeness of his death, but I won't raise them in the likeness of his resurrection. And I'll take care of that. And God said, don't forget, when you face the sea of water and the troubling waters of the Red Sea, don't forget, I am the Lord thy God. He said, when the Egyptian armies pursue, and you're crossing the Red Sea, and you're across, and here come those armies, and you look back and see that dry land, and what good does it make? Is it if you have been delivered across the dry land of the Red Sea, if the Egyptian armies are going to follow you and come right on through, and there you are trembling, and God looks down and says, Israel, don't forget, I am the Lord thy God. And so the armies are destroyed. But when hunger sets in, the Jews got hungry and they said, we have nothing to eat. And Moses, we wish we had never left the land of Egypt. We'd like to go back and eat the onions and cucumbers and watermelons and garlics and leeks of Egypt. And Moses went to God and said, God, what are we going to do? And God said, Moses, tell the people, I am the Lord thy God. That's all you need to know, folks. He is your Lord. He is your God. That's all you need to know. I am the Lord thy God. You're facing a heavy burden today? I am the Lord thy God. Have a heartache today? I am the Lord thy God. You're facing the surgeon's knife? I am the Lord thy God. In every place where the Israelites came to a place of fear or trouble or heartache, God comforted them by reminding them he was the God, he was their God, and I am the Lord thy God, he said. And so,
hunger set in, and God sent manna from heaven, little one-a-day vitamin tablets that covered the ground like the frost of the morning, and they had food to eat. But they came to the place where they could not see the way. They did not know which way to go. Which way should we go? Here we are in this wilderness. How should we know which way to go? And God said, don't fret. I am the Lord thy God. And God gave them that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night to lead them across the way. If you don't know which way to go this morning, let me tell you something. I am the Lord your God. If you're wondering this morning which direction to move, I am the Lord thy God. If you're unemployed this morning and don't know how you're going to buy food, I am the Lord thy God. God said to his people, he looked out in his foreknowledge and saw every burden they would bear, every battle they would fight, every problem they would solve. And God said every time they came to a place like that, God said, I am the Lord thy God. Take courage in this morning. I am the Lord thy God. Be cheerful this morning. I am the Lord thy God. Don't give up. I am the Lord thy God. They came to the place of thirst, and they had no water. I've been trying to get a sermon up on that rock in Horeb for weeks, and I can't get it finished. If I ever preach this, it's going to last for 6.5 hours. You want me to announce it so you won't come, don't you? But to me, that is the funniest story in the whole Bible to me. It's one of the funniest. That rock in Horeb, they got thirsty. And the good night, 3.5 million Jews, and they just got through eating those vitamin pills and the little wafers, and wafers made them thirsty. And they said, dear God, what are we going to do for thirst? And God said, I am the Lord thy God. And God said to Moses, take your rock, go to Horeb. And by the way, there's something interesting about that. When Moses took that rod to smite that rock, God said, I am standing before the rock. When God took that rock, that rod, and smote that rock, he smote Jesus when he smote that rock, because in 2 Corinthians it says that rock was Christ. And water came out of that rock. And you know, for 40 years, that rock followed them around. I've often wondered what size that rock was. I mean, was it like the Rock of Gibraltar? And did it just dance along Or was it about the size of a marble? Did it just roll along beside it? I don't know how big it was, but for 40 years, they got water from that wonderful thing. And they got water from that rock 40 years. It followed them everywhere they went. Somebody said, oh, that's not really true. That's what it says. It says that rock that followed them. One theologian said, bless the pity of his heart, he said that means that they went to that rock in Horeb and got a bunch of containers and put a bunch of water in the containers, and they carried the water. Now, If you've got a container that'll take care of your water supply for 40 years, I'll buy it. Especially if it'll follow along after you. No, that water wasn't that water. Somebody said, oh, that was a certain kind of rock, and said you just smote the rock, and out of that rock there came water. But there are other rocks like that, and everywhere they went, water was just squirting out of rocks. Now, you've got to be kidding me. Bible says the rock followed them. It was either a little bitty old rock about like that, like kind you'd throw, or take a stick and hit, like you'd swing a ball, bat at a baseball. But God said, don't you worry. Don't you worry. I am the Lord thy God. Let me come this morning to those of you that have heavy hearts and burdens, and let me remind you, he is your God. He is your Lord. I am the Lord thy God. They came to the place where the Amalekites attacked. And God, they were afraid of the Amalekites, the wildest, wickedest army in the entire world. And like Hitler's army in World War II, or like the Russian army in recent years, a wild bunch of men. And they came to the Amalekites, and they were trembling as they faced the Amalekites. And God said, Moses, tell the people, I am the Lord your God. They came to the heat, time the heat descended upon them. In the heat of the day. And God said, I am the Lord your God, and gave them a pillar of cloud by day. That pillar of cloud covered the entire camp of Israel to give them an air conditioner in the daytime. But they got cold at night, and God said, I am the Lord thy God. And he gave them this pillar of fire by night as a central heating system to heat the Israelites on their journeys by night. They came to the frisky Jordan River, and no way to go over. Wild little river. It's like a big creek, but it's a wild little thing and a swirling thing. And they came to the Jordan River. How will they go over? God said, I am the Lord thy God. You got any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible. He knows a thousand ways to make a way for you. I am the Lord thy God. Are you discouraged this morning? I am the Lord thy God. Are you lonesome this morning? I am the Lord thy God. Are you homesick this morning? I am the Lord thy God. You're facing the surgeon's knife? I am the Lord thy God. Are you discouraged this morning? I am the Lord thy God. Are you unemployed this morning? I am the Lord thy God. Are you worried this morning? I am the Lord thy God. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. God is still on His throne. God put in little the interspersed through the journeys of the Israelites, interspersed so that every time they came to a place of fear, a place of burden, a place of battle, God just rolled His old sleeves up and said, look at that bicep there. I am the Lord. You're scared, aren't you? Don't be afraid. This is here for your protection, not to attack you. It's here to protect you with. And I cannot flex it, of course, all the way because it always busts out this part of the coat. But God raises up His arm and shows that old bicep and said to the Jews, Didn't I part the waters of the Red Sea for you? Didn't I give you manna from heaven? Didn't I give you water from Horeb's rock? Didn't I give you a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? Didn't I lead you against the Amalekite army? Don't you think I can take you across the Jordan River? If I can dry up that big old wide Red Sea, I can dead sure dry up that little Jordan Creek there. And God said, I am the Lord thy God. And they took the Ark of the Covenant and sat the Ark of the Covenant and on the people, and they held that Ark of the Covenant up in the Jordan River, and as long as it was there, they walked over the Jordan River on dry ground. When they came to face the mighty walls of Jericho, how in the world will they defeat Jericho and conquer that city with that mighty walls? Walls so wide that six horses could walk abreast on the top of those walls. How in the world can they defeat Jericho? And God said, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord thy God. The walls came tumbling down from toward outwardly. And when they faced the giants of Canaan, God said, I am the Lord thy God. When their clothes were too small, God said, I am the Lord thy God. I'll stretch them as you grow. When their shoes were too small, God said, I am the Lord thy God. I'll stretch your shoes as your feet grow. As I said a while ago, of the 50 times that this phrase is mentioned, 27 times God intersperses this phrase during the 40 years of wandering to tell the people not to fear, not to worry, not to fret, not to be concerned. He simply said, I want to tell you occasionally, I am the Lord your God. Now, I can take care of the situation. I am the Lord thy God. And then, as I said a while ago, the other 23 times, nearly all, if not all of them, are used at times in the future when Israel was facing some hard time. And God said, let me tell you something. Don't you remember that I parted the waters of the Red Sea? But I can take care of you now. Don't you remember that I caused the sun to stand still? I can take care of you now. Don't you remember that I dropped one-a-day vitamin tablets from heaven? I can take care of you now. Don't you remember that I gave you water from that rock in Horeb when you smote it, and they followed you everywhere you went, and when you spoke to it and it gave forth water? I bet I can take care of you now. Don't you remember when you came to the Jordan River and you couldn't cross over? I dried up the waters of the Jordan. I bet I can take care of you now. Let me tell you something. The same God that parted the waters of the Red Sea is alive today. He's your God. Same God that made the sun to stand still for Joshua of old. That God is the God I spoke to in the wee hours this morning and asked Him for strength for today. That same God that caused the manna to come from heaven is alive. He can feed you just like He did His Israelites of old. That same God that caused enough water to squirt out of that little rock in Horeb to keep 3.5 million Jews from being thirsty for 40 long years. That same God lives today. What fundamentalism needs today is a forsaking of our atheism. Somehow we have an idea, and we theologians even try to argue, God, this is not the day of miracles. Oh, don't you let some dusty, dry, stale, backslidden, sorry theologian, never preached a tent campaign, never saw a sawdust trail, never had a bunch of converts walk down the aisle. Don't you let that rascal tell you that God's not the same He always was. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same God is alive today. What God did yesterday, He can do today. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God. When I stand to preach, God is saying, I am the Lord thy God. Same God that Elijah had is my God today. The same God that caused the fire to come from heaven and consume the offering on the altar is the God that you serve today. The same God that faced the enemy for Israel is alive this morning. And when they faced Nebuchadnezzar, and the Israelites were taken into captivity, into bondage, God came to His people and said, I am the Lord thy God. And I brought you out of Egypt. If I can bring you out of Egypt, can I take care of you in Babylon? I'm the God of Egypt and I'm alive now. I'm the same God I always was. When I tell someone the gospel story of Christ and take my little New Testament and present the wonderful story of salvation through Christ, let me tell you something. He says, I am the Lord thy God. When I sit at my desk to administrate this big, mighty work around here with all of its facets and all of its organizations, God comes to me as I sit there at the desk and He says, I am the Lord thy God. When I study for a sermon to preach again to the same crowd whom I preached for over almost 30 years, God comes to me and says, I am the Lord thy God. I wish somehow I could make your God bigger this morning. I wish I could reveal to you how big our God is. And I wish I could reveal to you that the God that spoke and worlds danced across the horizon, that God is our God today. And He's the same yesterday. And if God wanted to, He could make a sun, another sun and moon in another universe just like this one. If He wanted to, God never changes. I am the Lord thy God. I change not, He said. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. And you can make it with Him. He's the Lord your God. When I sit in my office to counsel, people sit across the room from me, burdens and heartaches and problems and sorrows. Last night, a little couple told me the sad story of how that member of their family just been sentenced to 5 years in the penitentiary. Remember their immediate family? When I sat there to counsel, God reminds me, I am the Lord thy God. When I stand in pulpits across America to preach, God says, I am the Lord thy God. When you face the surgeon's knife and you don't want to wake up because you're afraid when you wake up, the message will be, it was malignant. I am the Lord thy God. When you hear that it is malignant and the thing that mankind fears the most apart from AIDS today, the thing that mankind for the last 25 years has feared the most, the word malignancy, cancer, that awful word that grips at all of our hearts. And every time we have something wrong with us, we wonder, is it cancer? Is it malignant? Is it malignant? When the doctor says it is malignant, let me tell you, there is somebody standing over your bedside who says, I am the Lord thy God. You're left alone to rear your children. The same God of Elijah and the same God of Eden and the same God of the creation comes and stands to you little widows, women. Maybe a husband forsook you. Or maybe a husband died and left you to rear the children by yourself. You've got to be a mama and a daddy. You don't know how to face it. You don't know how to do it. The Jehovah God who created the stars and the moon and the sun comes up and stands beside you and says, I am the Lord thy God. You find your child will never be normal. And of all the heart-wrenching things I face, this must be the hardest. And some little lady who's carried a baby for 9 months and the couple for months have anticipated a little normal, healthy baby. And then the baby is born. They bring that little one by my office. And maybe there's a hole that big in the back of the little baby's head and you can't push on the hole. Or maybe he's got the little mongoloid look in his eyes. And you know, I've been there too many times. And you look at that baby and you know that baby will never go to school. And that baby will never graduate. And that baby will never get married. And that baby will never enjoy the normalcies of life. Let me tell you, young couple, somebody walks up to you, the one who spoke and stars danced into the heavens, the one who made the moon, the sun, and the stars, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of gods and King of kings. He walks up to you and looks at you and looks at that little baby and says, "Don't forget, I am the Lord thy God." You walk away from the silent city of the dead and you buried the dearest of life in that little ground, spot of ground. You walk away back home to an empty place at the table, empty place in the bed. The omnipotent God of gods comes to you and says, "I am the Lord thy God." When you cannot see how to face tomorrow, and the clouds of providence have clouded you so you can't see your fingers before your eyes, Jehovah God walks up to you and says, "I am the Lord thy God." I wish I could take each one of you individually this morning. Let me tell you your burdens. Let you tell me your burdens and your heartaches and your problems. And let you put your head right there on that shoulder and cry till you can't cry anymore. And I'd like to look at you and I'd like to shake your hand and hold your hand. And I'd like to say, let me tell you, our God is no make thing. Our God is no make believe. Our God is not the dream of somebody's fantasy. Our God is the God of gods and King of kings. And He says this morning to you, "I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God." And the tears will not stop. Someone stands before you and says, "I am the Lord thy God." And the reports confirm that it's multiple sclerosis. And you wonder how you're going to make it. And you wonder how long you'll be able to walk your own mobility. Every time you see a wheelchair, you wonder if it's prophetic. You wonder if there'd be anybody to push that wheelchair. The great King of kings and Creator of the universe walks up to you and says to you, "Don't forget one thing, I am the Lord thy God." "But how can I face tomorrow?" "I am the Lord thy God." "But who will take care of me?" "I am the Lord thy God." "But how will I make it financially?" "I am the Lord thy God." "But how can I face my pain?" "I am the Lord thy God." But what's going to happen? He is always going to be the Lord your God. That's what's going to happen. "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow." Sing it. "Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow." He comes this morning to you and says, "Don't fret, I am the Lord thy God. Don't worry, I am the Lord thy God. Don't fear, I am the Lord thy God. Don't tremble, I am the Lord thy God." What a God, what a Savior, what a salvation, what a hope, what a power, what a strength, what a comfort. "I am the Lord thy God." When those whom you thought were your friends yesterday are not your friends today, He comes and says, "I am the Lord thy God." When the college bill is due and there's no money to pay, He says, "I am the Lord thy God." When the doctor says your child is going blind, try that one on for size. You pastor a church, have a little couple come and bring a little blind baby. The doctor says he'll never see. Or another child in this church can see now, but his vision's leaving him. In just a matter of a few months, he'll be totally blind. Try that one on for size. I'd like to say, ladies and gentlemen, our God makes no mistakes. I cannot tell you why the child is blind, but I can tell you one who knows why the child is blind. I cannot tell you why the burden is heavy, but I can tell you one who knows why the burden is heavy. I cannot tell you why your loved one was taken, but I can tell you one who knows why your loved one was taken. And don't you fret, the day is just a few days away, but He's going to reveal all of it, and you'll know exactly why everything happened. And you'll up in heaven, "Well, my mama's still shouting in heaven. She hadn't got through shouting yet. She's found out why her husband was an alcoholic. My mama's found out why her first child was born afflicted, never walked or talked, and died in 7 years. She's found out why her second child died in her arms with the after effects of the measles, saying, 'Mother, I feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus.' She's found out why she had to work for 50 cents a day all those years and walk 2 miles to and from work. She's found out why she had to rear her son by herself. She's found out why, and you'll find out why. And one of the great joys of heaven is just every day learning a why about something else. I am the Lord thy God." And the husband has been suddenly taken in death. I am the Lord thy God. Little lady sitting in this room this morning. Fine boy, little boy. Cute as a bug. Husband in the penitentiary. I'm going to say a few words about that tonight. I'm going to tell you that I love convicts in the penitentiary. I'm going to tell you tonight that that lady in this room is just as respected as anybody in this room. I'm sort of the father image for the little boy. He came to the office of the day, made an appointment. He did. He's just 4 years old, I think. Made an appointment. Walked out in the waiting room. There he sat. Like he was human. He goes to school next year. Came to the office. Wasn't 1 second he was still. Didn't do anything bad. Didn't steal anything. Didn't spill anything. Just moved around. He got it, put his head under the chair. All I could see was a little bottom sticking up there and his head under the chair. From under the chair, he is moving all the time, looking around. And he kept talking. He said, I'm going to your school next year. Chair under the head, under the bed, chair under the head. head under the chair, one or the other. Well, for a while the chair was under the head, and a while the head was under the chair. His head was under there. He hollered out from under the chair, I'm going to your school next year. I said, why? He said, you want to know why I'm going? I said, why? He said, because I love you. Yeah. Yeah. God comes to that little boy this morning whose daddy's behind bars and says, I am the Lord thy God. He comes to that little woman. Listen to me. He comes to that little woman this morning. All she has for a husband is a letter occasionally, a frequent visit, looking through bars. And says, I am the Lord thy God. I don't know what your burden is this morning, but I know you have one. I don't know what it was you thought of this morning when you first woke up. I don't know what the first thing that hit your mind was, and you wished it weren't true, but I know you had one. I, your pastor, stand before you this morning, as I have for these 30 years, to remind you of our great and wonderful, mighty, powerful God. I am the Lord. And I am yours, thy God. Now, I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I am the Lord, your God. Thank you, Father. What a comfort. What a hope.